paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few minutes, please stick around. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and no manipulation. That's right. No con games here. We're not trying to sell you anything, not trying to solicit money. We just want to give you some information. Information that we pray that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. If you're able to do that, then my prayer is you will orient and adjust to the plan. That's my prayer. So that's why we do this. The Flatline Radio Show, FLOT, Forward Line of Troops. It stands for those 10 unique problem-solving devices taught in the Word of God and taught to me by my very own pastor years ago. And when you learn those 10 problem-solving devices and use them, then you can definitely stop the outside source of adversity before it ever becomes the inside source of stress. Today we're studying Lesson 11004. That's 1,004 Sundays on the radio across America. What a great privilege it's been for my team and me to bring you these radio shows and to watch how the Lord has provided every need that we have to make this possible. We started a series 4 Sundays ago on the family. And I want to remind you what we're doing, and we'll go into that today because we have something interesting to look at dealing with the family. Don't forget, we're hitting a special series on the family. Remember this, the family is the third great divine institution of God's plan for the nation. The family is the framework for the perpetuation and safeguarding of all future generations in the nation. And the parents are charged with evangelizing their children, that's what you have to do, as well as teach your children respect for authority and try to break those arrogant trends they may have and give them good norms and standards, such as respect for privacy, property, good manners, patriotism, etc. The family is truly the most unique thing in this divine institution. That's what holds this nation together. National stability in America always rests with a family unit. And broken families will equal always a broken nation. So remember, in this series, we're taking each letter of the word family, F-A-M-I-L-Y, and looking at certain doctrines that correspond with the individual letters in the word family. For example, F, we studied the word fathers. And it's clear from Scripture that being a father is an honored position. With that honor comes tremendous responsibility, and unfortunately, client nation America, we are seeing a lack of fathers stepping up to the plate and taking responsibility for their children. It's also clear that many men who have children are way too young to meet that responsibility, since many of these are still children themselves. So we did a whole series on fathers, and I hope you'll listen to that. If you didn't, let us know. We'll get it to you. And then we went into the A, F-A, family, F-A, and we studied authority. Because without authority orientation, it's impossible for anyone to learn anything, because there must be humility for teachability to take place. In the family, the parents have the legitimate authority and must enforce the rules and guidelines for the children. And children must understand privacy, respect for property, and the temporal realm of life. So we studied the F for fathers, the A for authority, and then we looked at the word M for mothers. I believe that unless the ladies of this nation, the daughters and the wives, pay attention to the Word of God, then we won't have a country much longer. And I believe you mothers are the backbone to the country. So it's your faith, your encouragement, your stability that stabilizes the man and stabilizes the marriage and gives stability to the home. Now today we're going to take a look at the letter L for family, F-A-M-I-L-Y. We're going to look at that word, L, and I'd like to use this way. The word I, that's what I'm trying to say. It looks like an L on the notes, but it's I. And we're dealing with inspiration and intercession. Inspiration and intercession. And we're talking about intercessory prayer. Have you ever heard that term before? Intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer on the part of the family members is a wonderful, wonderful privilege. For example, intercessory prayer is a service to others for whom you pray. Providing you do it effectively, I mean, you can pray and not even get answers. You can do a right thing in a wrong way. Don't forget that. Because the right thing done in a wrong way is always still wrong. And prayer can be done in a right way or a wrong way. You can pray till you're blue in the face, but if you're not doing it in the right way, you're not going to have any results. So prayer must be done effectively. And this ministry of prayer is an invisible ministry. People won't see it. But all intercessory prayer must be impersonal. It's not personal. You're not dealing with individuals that you love every time. Sometimes you have to deal with people you don't like. Sometimes you don't like your spouse. Sometimes you get angry with your children. And you can still pray in an impersonal, using impersonal love based on your integrity. Maybe not theirs, but it's always on your integrity. So all intercessory prayer must be based on your virtue, your integrity as you pray for others. The great power in this intercessory prayer I'm talking about is what we call impersonal love. Remember that prayer does not give you any momentum in your life. It's not a problem-solving device. It's not a cure-all for everything. I mean, I hear it every day. Our thoughts and our prayers go with you, and that's just a waste of words because they don't even know how to pray most of the time. And you can pray all you want to. If you don't do it in the right way, as I told you, it's not going to be answered. So it doesn't give you momentum in your spiritual life. It's not a cure-all to become a spiritually mature person just because you pray a couple of times a day. But you should be praying for unbelievers. That's legitimate. And that's part of your dynamics and your intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. So, for example, if you have unbelieving siblings, unbelieving parents, then in the family you have the responsibility to pray for them. And what are you praying? Are you praying for them to be saved? Well, God can't overstep their volition if they don't want to. But here's what you pray for. You pray that they will recognize their lost condition, and you pray that they will believe in Christ while there's still time to come. But somehow or another, they have to recognize their loss before they want to be saved. If they don't see that first, then they'll never accept Christ as their Savior. So if you have unbelieving family members, unbelieving siblings, unbelieving parents, pray for them, intercede for them, and ask God to let them see their self as they really are. This is where inspiration comes in now, intercessory and inspiration. What do I mean by that? I'm talking about your consistent spiritual growth and your relaxed mental attitude under intense circumstances can inspire individuals that see you and watch you, and inspire them to, in fact, accept Christ. That's what you want. Your spiritual insight, your spiritual discernment can inspire other people as they observe how you handle adversity in your life. Because a spiritually mature believer who faces death unafraid, that's a powerful testimony to the unbelieving family members who's watching. And it happens daily, daily. A mature believer, when it's time for them to go home to the home office and meet the Lord, they're not afraid, they're not scared to death. They have great peace and look forward to where they're headed. And an unbeliever sees this, and it's an inspiration to them. How do they do this? Why are they not worried? I remember one time I've told the story on this show, but an old friend of mine who passed away, her nurse came and told her mother, came and told her daughter, said, "Your mom is in such pain. She's moaning. I don't know what to do to help her." And the daughter went in, and she listened, and she said, "My mother is not moaning. She's singing." And she was, because she was looking excitedly forward to meeting her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how you inspire people. As you even face death, when you cross the bridge into the high ground of spiritual maturity and pass that evidence testing, and that's what it is. When you get to be a certain age, this is when you go through evidence testing, especially as you get older and face adversity. Are you going to fail? Are you going to quit? Are you going to wimp out? Are you going to trust the Lord to handle your situations for you? This is like going to the witness stand and Satan gets to cross-examine you like he did Job. And what about you? Your evidence testing at an incurable illness can inspire other people who are watching you. Inspire them to do what? To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be the one thing they need to see. But remember this, and I tell you one more time, prayer is not a problem-solving device for you in suffering. It's actually a weapon for the strong to use on behalf of other people who are suffering. And you can use it in your life as well to claim the promises of God. As a royal priest, which you are, but you can't intercede for other people. So please, don't ever quit to cease praying for your lost family members, even up to the last day you have on this planet. And don't forget, God the Holy Spirit intercedes for us as a substitute when we are motivated to pray. When we try to pray, but sometimes we don't even know what to pray, He intercedes for us. Listen to Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now listen to verse 27 carefully in Romans 8. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit is praying for you, interceding for you. The Holy Spirit's ministry of prayer for you cannot be squenched or grieved. Even if you're out of fellowship, even if you're in sin, He's praying for you to rebound, to recover, to get back in fellowship. He's before the throne of God lifting you up, and He continues to make intercession for you when you're out of fellowship. He does this for you regardless of your volition. Now, your prayers might not be valid if you're trying to pray with unconfessed sin in your life, but the prayers of the Holy Spirit to the throne room of God are always valid and always heard by the Father. But in regards to your prayers, Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And there's your warning right there. If you try to pray and you have unconfessed sin in your life, it's not going to be heard. But let's go back to intercessory prayer, praying for other people. Your prayer for other people becomes your ministry. But I want to remind you that long prayers, and I've been around a few people who want to pray. They like to hear themselves pray, and they want to pray a long prayer. Maybe in your church you have a deacon like that, or some member, and the pastor calls on him to pray, and off he goes. People are starting to open one eye and look around and see what time it is. How long has this guy been praying? Long prayer should be reserved for private prayer, private intercession, private petition. Matthew 6:6 says, "When you pray, go into your private room, and once you shut the door, you pray to your Father who's with you in secret, and pray to your Father who sees in secret, and He'll provide for you." So you don't have to parade around in front of everybody and show them how great a prayer warrior you are and pray in 15, 20-minute long prayers. In Matthew 26:36, I want to show you an example of our Lord's request not being answered and the disciples failing to do their job with intercessory prayer. This is Matthew 26. "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to the disciples," I'm going to kind of paraphrase it, "All right, man, sit here while I go and pray over there." And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John. That's three tough guys, probably three of the toughest disciples, because the sons of Zebedee were called sons of thunder. So He took these three with Him and went over to the side, left the other disciples behind, and He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with Me." And He went a little bit further so He could have some privacy. And He fell on His face and He prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me." By the way, what was in the cup? My sin and your sin. He drank every drop of our sins into His own body on the cross. So He said, if it's possible, and obviously it's not possible because this was the will of God for Him, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless," that's what He said, "not as I will, but as You will." And there He is submitting to the Father's divine will. It's not His volition. The Lord looked at that cross. It didn't exactly look like a great place to hang out. But He said, "Nevertheless, if this is Your will, I'm willing to do it." So what did He do? He left James and John and Peter back behind to do a little praying for Him, help Him pray. Verse 40, "Then He came to the disciples and found them asleep." Asleep. And He said to Peter, "What? Could you not stay awake with Me for 1 hour? Watch and pray." There it is. Watch and pray. Verse 41, Matthew 26. lest you enter into temptation yourself. Because the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Peter did enter into temptation. When they came to arrest him, he pulled out a sword and tried to cut a guy's head off, and he missed, cut his ear off instead. So after he gave him some admonition and went back to pray again a second time, he went away and he prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, then your will be done. And he came and found them, what? Asleep. Asleep again, because their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and he went away. And he prayed a third time. I can just see him coming back and say, oh, my word. These guys can't stay awake 10 minutes. And he went and prayed again the third time. Then he came back to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping? Are you still resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And that means that Judas had brought the Romans there, not necessarily the Romans, but the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the temple guard had come to arrest him. So what about you? This is my question I want to ask you. Have you been lured to sleep spiritually? Have you? Have you been lured to sleep spiritually? Do you let the problems of life take precedence over the responsibility you have to watch and pray? For example, have you interceded for your children today? Or what about your leaders? Have you prayed for your leaders? In 1 Timothy 2:1-4, here's what Paul wrote. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayer, intercession, that's what we're talking about, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all men be saved and all men come to the knowledge of the truth. So, this is where impersonal love comes in. What I mean by that, well, you might not like your leaders. You might not like the president. You might not like the vice president. You might not like your senator, your congressman. What should you pray for them? The Bible tells you to pray for them. I exhort, first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority. That's who we're talking about. If I'm supposed to pray for people I don't like, what should I pray? Well, verse 2 told me what to pray. I'll read it to you again. Pray that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. That word reverence is the Greek word semnotes. Semnotes. What does semnotes mean? It's the characteristics of a person or a thing which entitles to reverence or respect. And we will more than likely find disrespect for Christians in the not-too-distant future. So Paul is saying, when you pray for your leaders, pray that they will let you live a quiet and peaceable life and respect you and not try to take revenge on you. Get ready, because there's coming a time soon when Christians are going to be in the revenge motivation. I think already a lot of people hate Christians. So listen to this. There may be a few other things you might want to pray when you're mad, when you're out of fellowship. But remember this, if you got to let God do the judging, not you. In Romans 12:19, beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. So it's not your job to give place to wrath. 24 hours a day, the Supreme Court of Heaven is open. The Lord Jesus Christ controls history. He can handle what's going on. But you just prayed to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So listen to the fantastic promises of God concerning your prayer requests. Listen carefully. Here's a promise, John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you desire, and here it is, listen, it shall be done for you. The word abide is a Greek word pronounced meno, M-E-N-O, meno, and it means not to depart or to remain as one. So this verse is conditional, meaning you have the potential. If you stay in fellowship with the Lord, and if you live by the mandates of God's word, you can freely ask for things both personal in both personal petitions and intercessory prayer, and they will be granted. However, the next verse is the key to God answering your prayers. I will say that again. If you stay in fellowship with the Lord, if you live by His mandates, you can freely ask for things both in personal petition, that's praying for your own self, and in intercessory prayers, praying for others, and they will be granted. But the next verse is the key, John 5:14-15. This is the confidence that we have in Him if we ask anything according to His will. And that's the key to it, according to His will. Now, you may want to win the lottery, so you pray, okay, Lord, help me win the lottery. I want to win the $1 million lottery. You're not ever going to win the lottery like that. I promise you, if you won the lottery today, you'd be gone tomorrow. Most people, that's the way they are. They won't, oh, Lord, help me win the lottery. Not going to happen. Forget that. According to His will. What is His will? Well, we know what His will is, that all men come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's wanting people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're praying in His will, we're praying for our family members, for my brother, for my sister, for my mother, for my father, for my aunt, for my uncle. I'm interceding that they would know they're lost and they would see their lost condition and they would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as Savior. Would He hear that? Yes. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've asked of Him. 1 John 5:14-15. So don't ask for anything ridiculous. Don't ask for something that would override a person's volition. For example, you can't, you know, God, please save Joe, my friend Joe, save him, God. Now, God's not going to step in and save Joe until Joe's ready to be saved. He's not going to override Joe's volition. Joe has to make a decision. Do I want to believe in Christ? So it's much better to ask God to reveal your friend's condition to him so he will see that he's lost and understand what he's facing. So prayer to God is the privilege of every born-again child of the Father. But there are conditions for that prayer to be met in the protocol plan of God. So, I mean, as we told you earlier today, you can pray and your prayers sometimes are not going to be answered because you're doing the right thing, but you're doing it in the wrong way. So, first condition, you must be in fellowship for the prayer to be effective. By that, I mean you've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, then the Lord will not hear me. And second, you must not ask for the wrong reason. James 4:3 said, you ask and don't receive. Why? Because you ask amiss. You ask so you could spend it on your own pleasure. So you're not asking for what's the will of God. And finally, a condition, we must be believing when we ask Him. If we believe, He'll answer. Matthew 21:22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So to conclude this study, I ask you again, are you praying for your children, parents? Are you sleeping? Are you praying for your siblings, brothers and sisters? Are you praying for your aunts and uncles and your parents? Are you praying for your lost family members? You can intercede for them and pray for them. Are you praying for your nation? And are you praying for your leaders? Wake up, Jesus told the disciples. Wake up, watch, and pray that you enter not into temptation. These are tough times in America, and you better wake up and understand your responsibility in the family is to intercede for those in your family and to inspire them by means of your own personal growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me remind you as we wrap this up today, we're going to be making some changes after the first of the year. We're dropping a few radio stations, and we're adding a few radio stations. What we do is we try to keep up with where we're being heard and where the responses are. So if you wind up not hearing our show, you might need to contact us and let us know. It's possible your station could be dropped. We don't want to drop anything. We'd like to add stations, but financially sometimes it's impossible because these are not free. We have to purchase the airtime. But thankfully, the Lord has always graciously given us every dime to pay for every bill we have without us asking, without us selling, without us begging for money. So God is very faithful. God is very gracious to do that for us. So pray for us as we make these changes. as we decide what cities to keep pressing on and what cities to drop. And we will add new cities, and hopefully your city will still be on the agenda, because I enjoy being in every town. But if we're not hearing from people, then there's no sense continuing to broadcast in that city. Okay? Well, I sure thank you for listening with me today. Thank you for being part of our radio show for all these.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, stay with me. Only about 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and all of it's done without any manipulation, because we don't con people. We're certainly not trying to sell you anything nor ask you for anything. We would only ask that you listen. Listen, pay attention as I try to verify and identify God's plan for your life. If I can do that, you can orient and you can adjust to the plan. The Flot Line, F-L-O-T, forward line of troops, is all about learning God's tremendous problem-solving devices and using them as a resource in your life so that you can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. Let me remind you before we get started this morning that we're going to make some changes after the first of the year, trying to be careful with the Lord's resources, so we're going to eliminate some shows, some cities where we're not hearing from people. So if you want us to stay in your city, be sure to let us know. Send us a letter, send us a note, contact us through the website, rickhughesministries.org. But we'll still be in all 50 states, still be broadcasting all the way across America, just trying to be conservative and not waste money where we're not having any results. Again, I'm like a fisherman. I'm looking for people that are hungry. I'm looking for people that want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I'm looking for Christians that want to learn and grow and apply God's Word to their life. If that's you, you're listening to the right show. I want to remind you this morning about our current topic that we're talking about. Several weeks ago, I started a series called The Family. I personally believe the breakdown of the family is one of the main culprits in the destruction of any client nation such as the United States of America. Don't forget that God has ordained four divine institutions by which that client nation operates. Those four divine institutions allow the human race to be preserved and perpetuated. and they apply to believers and unbelievers, regardless of race, gender, or any other factor. Those four divine institutions include volition. That means the freedom to choose. God did not make you into a robot. He gave you freedom to choose. The greatest decision you could ever make is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Marriage is a divine institution. Family is a divine institution, and that's the framework for perpetuating and safeguarding future generations within this client nation. And then, of course, nationalism. God has ordained nationalism in the human race. Why? To protect it from self-destruction. The attack on nationalism saw its origin in Genesis chapter 11 with the Tower of Babel. Because if the entire human race were under one rule prior to the millennial reign of Christ, then it would self-destruct. So internationalism is outlawed by being evil in the Word of God, as per Genesis chapter 11. If you remember, I started this series using the noun family as an acrostic to focus on each letter. We focused on F for the Father. We focused on A for authority. And today we're going to focus on M for the mother. Today we're going to look at the letter M for mothers and their ministry to the family. Let's start off by reading Deuteronomy 5:16. If you're a mother, pay special attention to this. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that your days may be long, that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. According to a passage such as this, this is one of the secrets to having a long life. The Bible promises you 70 years, but 70 plus years is available to you if you honor your parents. The verb honor is to give them respect or to give them great esteem. This is one of the ways that this is being done. And one of the ways you do this is by being obedient to their demands within reason in the Greek New Testament. You know, your parents can't tell you to go rob the liquor store and bring them money. That's not right. But if your parents give you an order, give you a command, clean your room up, brush your teeth, comb your hair, you have to obey. That's how you learn to submit to authority. So this passage, it says that we are to be obedient to their demands within reason. In the Greek New Testament, this passage is quoted in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, and it's repeated using the verb tamao, T-I-M-A-O, tamao, which is the word honor. And it's used in the imperative mood, which is the mood of command. So if you don't honor, if you don't respect, if you don't obey your parents, you are committing a sin. Mothers carry the same authority as fathers when it comes to the authority over the children. Listen to Proverbs 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. In this passage, we have Solomon comparing a fool to one who disobeys his mother and his father. In Proverbs 1:7, the verse that immediately is before Proverbs 1:8, that verse says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So my son, next verse, hear the instructions of your father and don't forsake the law of your mother. Don't be a fool and disobey your parents and fail to honor your parents. One of the quickest ways to shorten your life as a young person is to forsake the law of your mother. I'll read that verse again. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Proverbs 1:8. One of the lies of Satan that is perpetuated in the cosmic system is that in your formative years, you are smarter than your parents. That's a lie. I believe mothers are the glue that hold the family together. And that glue is the unconditional love that that mother showers upon her family. A spiritually mature mother has advantages as well as responsibilities to both her children and her husband. The advantages are the Bible doctrine that's resident in her soul's mentality that keeps her from worrying about her children or even interfering in their lives. She must have a faith, rest, drill attitude, problem-solving device, number 3, and she must have a relaxed mental attitude, which is a result of using the flight line in your soul. If she has faith, rest, drill and an RMA, she will have mental stability and not worry about her children. Because why? What's the reason? Well, she knows motherhood is not the key to happiness. Did you know that? Being a mother is not the key to happiness. Notice in the passage that I'm about to read to you, where a mother, I assume a mother, makes an issue out of the Lord's mother. I'm assuming this is a mother saying this. She interrupted our Lord as he was teaching to the disciples, and she blurted out these words out loud over everyone else. I guess she stood up in the crowd and said, "Jesus, listen to me." And here's the verse, Luke 11:27-28. "And it happened as he spoke these sayings that a certain woman," that's the mother, "from the crowd, raised her voice and said to him," now how do we know it's a mother? Well, listen to what she says. "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you." Well, quite an insult there. Blessed, that's the word makarios, which is happiness. And she's saying, "I bet your mother is really happy." And Jesus said in verse 28, Luke 11:28, "More than that, happiness belongs to those who hear the word of God and keep it." Again, that word blessed is the Greek word for happiness. So the mother who hears the word of God, and I would hope in a local church under a well-qualified pastor, and keeps what she hears, she's guaranteed to have happiness in her life. Here's a word of warning for any female who thinks being a mother equals happiness. You ready? Here's a word of warning for any female who thinks being a mother equals happiness. Proverbs 17:25. "A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to the mother that bore him." Proverbs 17:25. "Nothing is more heartbreaking to a mother than a child who's a fool and on his or her way to an early grave." Who's the child that's a fool? Proverbs 1:7. "Fools despise the wisdom and instruction of their father and forsake the laws of their mother." Proverbs 1:7 and 1:8. So there's nothing more heartbreaking to a mother than to have a fool for a daughter or a son. That means they reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. They reject the Word of God and the principles taught there, and their only way to an early grave. In Proverbs 31, you can read the words of King Lemuel. Lemuel says that these things were taught to him by his mother. Turn to Proverbs 31 sometime and read it. You'll see what he says. Proverbs 31:2. "What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows?" So she's teaching her son, King Lemuel. In these verses, she told her son, the king, about the dangers of sexual immorality in verse 3 of Proverbs 31, and the dangers of too much alcohol in verse 4 of Proverbs 31, and that as king he was to judge just and fair regardless of social standings, verse 9, and he was to deal with a wife with integrity and honor, and a mother is to be admired more valuable than rubies due to the wisdom she imparts. Listen to Proverbs 31:26. "The mother opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her speech is the law of kindness." In verse 28 of Proverbs 31, "And her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also praises her." In verse 30, we find her true motivation and the true character of that mother. And here it is, "Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who respects the Lord shall be praised." Her secret is her virtuous character that's motivated by her personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I give you some characteristics of a virtuous mother? Here's one, unconditional love for her children, in spite of their ill-advised decisions they might make. This is the only possible by using problem-solving device number 8, which is impersonal love. Without using impersonal love, you can really get out of shape with your children. Without this divine asset, a mother will wind up being frustrated, and she'll be bitter towards her wayward children. Because disappointment in a child's decision can lead to guilt from the mother and discouragement. Mothers will think, "I didn't do a very good job. Look what my son and look what my daughter's doing." And they get discouraged, and that's not true. Mothers can give them the Word of God. They have volition. They have to decide. They have to choose for themselves. So remember, each child has their own volition. And in spite of what we teach them, in spite of what mother teaches them, they can still be captured by the cosmic system and lured into a life of immorality or even into criminality. I often hear from mothers whose children are incarcerated, and their dear hearts are broken. Let me say, if you have a child incarcerated, we can help by directing them to Philippi Freedom Ministries, where they can get into a consistent study of God's Word using resources provided by myself and other well-qualified pastors. So to look it up on the Internet, Philippi Freedom Ministries, or contact me if you have a child that's incarcerated and you want to get them some material. So, number one, the characteristics of a virtuous mother was unconditional love. And number two, a virtuous mother has a soul full of wisdom, insight, discernment, and understanding. These divine advantages give her the spiritual perspective to guide her children through the maze of satanic deception, as well as avoiding the lure of the world, which promises happiness, but only delivers frustration. Parents have to guide their children through the maze of satanic deception. Today, the cosmic system is always spinning around. The zeitgeist, the lure of the world is out there, especially with social media. And if parents don't put some fundamental truth in the life of their children, they don't stand a chance. So a mother that has unconditional love, a mother that's virtuous with a soul full of wisdom, insight, discernment, and understanding. And number three, characteristic of a virtuous mother is self-sacrifice and self-denial. These are personality traits of the mature spiritual mother. And then finally, humility and gentleness, traits of the spiritually mature mother. She doesn't get mad. She doesn't get angry. She doesn't lose her temper. She doesn't yell. She doesn't shout. She loves. She forgives. She uses impersonal love. She has a faith rest drill, standing on the promises of God, and she has a relaxed mental attitude. I believe that unless the ladies of America and the mothers and the daughters and the wives pay attention to the Word of God, that we will not have a country much longer. You hear me? Unless the mothers and the daughters and the wives pay attention to the Word of God, we will not have a country much longer. I believe mothers and daughters are the backbone to this country. And I believe it's your faith and your encouragement and your stability that stabilizes your husband, the man, and keeps the marriage stable and the home right. The greatest asset any woman can have comes from the Word of God. No matter what a woman possesses, be it exterior beauty, materialistic things, even status in society, all these things are utterly and totally meaningless unless that woman has inner beauty. Where would I get that from? Where did I get what from? The greatest asset, the greatest assistance to any woman comes from the Word of God. No matter what she possesses, here it is again, listen, be it exterior beauty, materialistic things, even status in society, all of these are utterly and totally meaningless unless she has inner beauty. So listen to Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman who respects the Lord shall be praised. That's the inner beauty. You don't have to be a beautiful person on the outside to be a beautiful person on the inside. You hear that? You don't have to be Miss America to be beautiful on the inside. Someone once said God's beauty is beyond looks. Your image and your style may be appealing to the opposite sex, but God looks on your heart, not on your outward appearance. You can spend all the money you want on makeup. You can spend all the money you want going to physical exercise and yoga and doing whatever you want to do, but it's not going to make you beautiful on the inside. It may keep you in shape physically. But listen to 1 Samuel 16:7. For the Lord does not see as a man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So when God looks at you, He's not impressed with your image and your style. He's not impressed with how young you look at the age of 50. He's not impressed with the makeup you're wearing. He's not impressed with the latest clothes you're wearing. He's impressed with what you're thinking. I have two daughters in the fashion world. One is a fashion stylist, the other is a costumer in California. They deal with women all the time that want to have the latest fashion and are willing to pay whatever it costs to get it. But the real truth is the beauty of a woman is what's on the inside, not what's on the outside. The prophet Isaiah warned the women of Judah about this. He warned them what would happen to them because of the national disintegration of Jerusalem and Judah because of their sin. Listen to the words of Isaiah as he warns the women of Judah what's going to happen if they continue the path that they're going down. Isaiah 3:8. For Jerusalem stumbled, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. So here's a solemn warning. Jerusalem is done for. What if I put America here? For America stumbled. For America has fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Could rightly say that, couldn't I? He also had a word for the arrogant mothers and the arrogant females that forgot his laws. Listen to Isaiah 3:16. Because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and they walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet. That's all kind of makeup, all kind of trinkets, all kind of jewelry, thinking that that's what makes them beautiful. Listen to the results of national discipline if it comes. And when it comes, listen to what it does to the females of Judah. And think about this. If America goes down, if we lose our client station status, if we go to war with China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, whoever we may face, if we lose that war, if we get into some sort of national conflict, what will happen to the mothers? What will happen to the females in this nation? Isaiah 3:17 through 24. Listen very carefully. Understand there's only one way out of this, and that's for you as a mother or a daughter to get with it spiritually and fulfill the plan of God for your life. Isaiah 3:17, beginning there and reading on down through verse 24. Here is national discipline on a nation. Therefore, the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. In that day, that's the day of national discipline when it comes, the Lord will take away the finery, the jingling anklets, the scarves and the crescents, the pendants and the bracelets and the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments, the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms, and the rings and the nose jewels, the festive apparel and the mantles, the outer garments, the purses, and the mirrors, the fine linens, the turbans, and the robes. Are you listening? This is what you're going to lose if we go under national discipline. This is what's going to happen to every female in this nation if we go under national discipline. There's only one way out of this. If you're a mature believer, God will deliver you and take you to the other side, I promise you. He will make sure you survive it. But when national discipline comes upon the female, as it could in this country in the future if we continue down the path we're going, the jingling anklets, the scars, the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, the veils, that sounds like ladies of America, the headdresses, the leg ornaments, the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms, the rings, the nose jewels, the festive apparel, the mantles, the outer garments, the purses, and the mirrors, and the fine linens, and the turbans, and the robes, all gone. And so shall it be, warned Isaiah. And so shall it be. Instead of a sweet smell, there will be stench. Instead of a sash, there will be a rope. Instead of well-set hair, there will be bald people. Instead of a rich robe, there will be a grinding of sackcloth and a branding instead of beauty. What a horrible way to die. What a horrible thing to think about. Well, why would I even bring that up? Because we are on the verge of losing this country. We're on the verge of going backwards. We're not already going backwards. We sanction and we agree with certain things that are horrible sins in God's eyes. Could these sort of things happen to us? Absolutely. America could face these same things. The next generation will determine the future of this client nation. As a godly mother, if indeed you are, you can prepare your children and your grandchildren by evangelizing them and teaching them God's word so they'll be able to recognize the lies of the cosmic system. Here's a question for you. Do you pray with your children? At night, do you teach your children how to pray before they go to sleep? I know some people remember the prayer their mothers taught them, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep." You remember that? Do you pray with your children? Do you teach your children the scriptures? Do you have one verse a week you try to remind them of? One simple verse? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the greatest verse you could give your children. Do you teach them that verse? If not, if you ignore God's word, if you ignore any opportunity to deal with them spiritually, don't cry when you lose them to the lure of satanic influences and lies, because you will lose them. You are losing them. Right now, we are in terrible trouble. We're in a terrible situation. This nation is going down if we continue on this path. We ordain and allow certain sins that are horrible, deceitful, nasty, vile sins, and we say it's okay. We put people in political power that are full of this sort of stuff. We are in serious trouble, and you know it. Without me getting into fine details of what it is, without me pointing out the people that are in, that are allowing this, you can see it for yourself. You read the news. You read the paper. You watch TV. You know what's going on. We're in trouble. And if we continue down the road we're on, we will not be here 10 years from now. I told you a long time ago there's a train wreck coming and you can hear the whistle blowing. I hear the whistle blowing and I see the light far down the railroad track. There's only one thing that can save us. Only one thing that can turn us around, and that's the grace of our Lord God, Jesus Christ. As a mother, will you contribute your part? As a mother, will you be that virtuous mother that God's looking for? If you have young children, will you begin to evangelize your children? Will you tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you teach them the principles of God's word so they won't be captured by the satanic lure of the world? Will you do that? Will you pray with your children? Will you take them to church? Will you see to it that they get divine spiritual norms and standards in their life? Because that's what it's about. Without the right norms and standards, they're going to make consistently bad decisions. If they're lured into believing that certain sins are okay and these sins are not even in the Bible and you can do whatever you want to do and God's not paying any attention, if they're lured into believing that junk, then they will be lured into losing this nation. Mothers, I call upon you. You are the backbone to the family. You are the glue that holds the family together. You must be a spiritually mature mother, and you must have the life of your children in your mind, spiritually speaking, not just physically speaking. If that's all you want, if you just want your children to grow up, marry a rich person, have a fine home, and give you grandchildren, if you think that's the key to happiness, you are sadly mistaken. You must impart to your children spiritual wisdom. You must make sure your children understand the gospel and they understand God's divine viewpoint. I would suggest to you that you get with it soon, sooner than later, or you're going to lose them. I have children and I have grandchildren, and that's my prayer. My wife and I pray about this all the time, that they don't grow up as a heathen nation under domination control of a foreign enemy, because that's coming if we don't change our ways. I promise you, God's not going to tolerate our disrespect much longer. Unto whom much is given, much is expected, God says, and he has blessed us with so many things. So that's a challenge I give you today. That's a warning I give you today. Mothers, wake up. Take a look around at your children. Realize what's going on, and they're being recruited every day into the cosmic system. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. And I hope you'll pray for your children, pray for your nation, and please pray for me as I press on with the Flatline Ministry, bringing to you every Sunday morning, same time, same place. So until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.